24th, 2021 Planning and Zoning Meeting to order. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton? Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner Rushing?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
Commissioner Galway Jones? Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball?
Here.
I'm here. We have seven. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments or additions to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Carroll. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the agenda. Looks unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Everyone should have received a copy of the June 10th, 2021 regular meeting minutes. Were there any additions or adjustments to those minutes? Seeing none, can I get a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
I'll second it.
Moved by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Kimball. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the minutes. Looks unanimous. Thank you. That brings us to the subdivisions for the evening. First case is case 180-2021, a request by Allstate Consultants on behalf of the Crossing EPC of Columbia for a one-lot replat to be known as the Crossing EPC Plat 6, a replat and consolidation of the Crossing EPC Plat 5, and two unplatted lots located to the southwest. The property is 27.8 acres and is zoned A, agriculture. The property has frontage on Grindstone Parkway, Rock Quarry Road, and Southland Drive, and is addressed 3615 Southland Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. The intent of this consolidation plat is to add two additional previously unplatted lots here on the south to the larger Crossing EPC campus, which was platted most recently under the Crossing EPC Plat 6. This request was the subject of postcards that I sent to adjacent property owners. We sent 28 adjacent property owner notices. We did not have a public information meeting due to COVID protocols, and it's not a public hearing this evening, it's a public meeting, but it will feel, I think, largely the same. So to orient ourselves to the site, you've got the Grindstone Walmart over here, you've got the Crossing Church, which is a number of buildings, accessory structures, the main campus, parking lots, etc., right here. The Den Luxury Student Apartments is right here, Rock Quarry Park is here, etc. So as I said, this will add two additional lots to the larger Crossing campus. The property is zoned agriculture, that it is permitted to have places of worship and then accessory places of worship structures on ag-zoned property within the city. It will bring those two unplatted lots into greater compliance with the UDC. The applicant is not requesting any design adjustments as part of this replat. The plat dedicates the additional right-of-way, which is required for Southland Drive. So it'd be an additional 5 feet to provide a 25-foot half-width. It's a residential local street, which requires a 50-foot total right-of-way corridor. It also dedicates the required 10-foot utility easement adjacent to the new frontage on Southland Drive, which is required by the UDC. And then sidewalk where the Crossing already has frontage on Southland is already there, but they will have to build in the missing pieces that happens with the new frontage on the two new lots. Because there are no design adjustments and the plat is believed to be in conformance with the UDC, we are recommending approval of the Crossing EPC Plat 6 final plat.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Before we move on to questions for staff, I'd like to ask any commissioners who have had any experte related to this case to please share that so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Just a
quick point of information, but I might as well ask this question now. This may be a Mr. Zenner or a Mr. Teddy question. When will we resume public information meetings? Do we know?
At this point, we are not sure. And the process that we are utilizing now is what we refer to as early postcard notification, mm-hmm. which is actually sent out the same week that the projects are generally received to property owners within 185 feet and homeowners associations within 1,000 feet, leaving, providing that out as early notice to alleviate the need at this point to hold in-person early notification meetings after hours here in City Hall. And that is something that we implemented at the beginning of the COVID process. We have found that it has not posed any issue with comments or questions being asked, which is really part of the purpose for why we did the early notification meetings. However, it has also reduced the building having to be open after business hours, which was a concern, and I believe still is a concern of the city manager, as well as has reduced the necessity for us to have staff here over the 5 o'clock hour to potentially only receive maybe the applicant and no one else to show up. So we haven't felt that we have extinguished the ability for an individual that may be interested to provide comments or ask questions. We've actually extended an opportunity because not only do we do it a week after or the week of the project coming in, for any public hearing item, we are also providing then the follow-up postcard and the follow-up notice. So I would suggest to you that at this point, when we initially initiated not having meetings, we had initiated that with the objective of potentially not resuming them post-pandemic. I would suggest that while we are out of emergency declaration at this point, we could, and we can take that up with the city manager if he would like us to have the building left open after 5:30.
My concern is as follows. I'm sorry to take your time here, but we need to make this point at some juncture. My concern is as follows. Exemplar, the 1 in 20 issues that come before us, Green Meadow Circle, something like that. That we're going to have that. I've taken up enough time. You've answered my question. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your indulgence.
Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open up the floor to public comment. This is a subdivision, but if there are any public comments, we will entertain those. Seeing none, we'll... We can acknowledge Mr. Stanton's arrived at the meeting. So we now have 8 in attendance, correct? Yes. Good to see you, Mr. Stanton. All right, closing public comment on the subdivision. Commission discussion. Mr. McMahon.
If my fellow commissioners do not have any questions or concerns that they wish to raise, seeing none, in the matter of the crossing, EPC Plat 6, final plat, case number 180-20-21, approval for the crossing, EPC Plat, final plat, I move to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. We have 8 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Carroll. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. This moves us to the public hearings portion of the meeting. Our first case is case 162-2021, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of P1316 LLC for approval of a rezoning of 1.64 acres of MC mixed-use corridor to PD plan development. a three-lot, 10.62-acre PD development plan and accompanying statement of intent for an office and retail development to be known as Discovery Center, and a design exception to exceed 200% of allowed parking. The request also includes the abrogation of an existing PD plan known as Aria Boulevard Phase 2, which currently conflicts with the location of the proposed PD plan. The property is located on the northeast corner of Nocona Parkway and Endeavor Avenue. This case was tabled at the June 10, 2021 Planning Commission meeting. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, this is obviously the return of our project that was tabled down at Discovery from our last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on the 10th. Displayed on the map in front of you is the 10.66-acre tract of land. As described in the description of the project, we are doing a number of things here. We are rezoning property to PD, a portion of the northeastern acreage. We are approving a PD plan. We are approving a revised statement of intent, approving potentially a requested design exception, which has been modified from the original report presented in on June 10. And then we are looking at an abrogation or a voiding of a previously approved PD plan to the northwest along Nocona Parkway. We did send out advanced public notification postcards on May 12th, and we did do an ad on May 25, and there were two letters and postcards sent out along with that, one to the applicant and one to the council member who represents this ward. This is the property from the oblique aerial. Many of you are probably familiar with this, the corner of Gans or of Discovery Parkway and Endeavor Boulevard. This aerial is a little bit old, but if I go to the next aerial, you will get to see the development that is currently in approved status on the left-hand side of your screen, and then a more current 2021 aerial, if I am correct, of the developed area at Discovery Park with the subject site highlighted there again in the northeast corner of the Nocona and Endeavor intersection. This is the revised site plan that was submitted after our June 10th meeting that you had in your packet. And you will notice some significant changes to this plan versus what was previously presented. Lot lines are shown here on the document with the proposed three-story office building and then a relocated and more centrally located green space on lot three of the subject site. We have three buildings, as indicated on the site plan. The largest building on lot three is roughly 95,000 square feet of a three-story office building. Has grown a little bit from the original proposal through some modifications to the exterior architecture, and the applicant's agent can explain a little bit more about that. And then you have a retail restaurant business on one of the lots, and then another retail facility down on the second lot along the Discovery Parkway frontage. There are, as this plan depicts, one point of access in off of Ponderosa, one point off of Nocona, and then one point of access off of Endeavor. I apologize, two off of Nocona, the one that's in the far northeast corner of the project site. So the rezoning that is associated with this particular project, as I indicated, is in the southeast corner of the property. You can barely make out that zoning boundary line, which is right down in this particular area. That is actually currently zoned MC and associated with what is referred to as Tract 8 of the Phillips Farm annexation and permanent zoning request. It is being proposed to be rezoned to PD in order to ensure that we have all of the planned district property that's proposed to be in the primary plan all zoned the same thing. There is a three-lot commercial development, as we've explained. We have a statement of intent that has been matched to the requirements of Tract 5 of the original Phillips Farm Annexation Agreement Ordinance. This is being done due to the rezoning aspect of the MC property. It is being brought in, so it is then The entire tract of land, including the rezoned portion, would all fall under the same original requirements. And as we had discussed in our last meeting, the purpose behind doing so is we do have very specific requirements and obligations associated with Ordinance 18043 that we wanted to ensure that the newly acquired property or the property proposed to be rezoned to PD would be subject to, as well as the balance of the tract, which is already subject to that ordinance. And hence, the statement of intent ensures that, as well as it modifies or modernizes the statement of intent to deal with the land uses as described in today's Unified Development Code, but does not add any uses that were not previously permitted. So we've updated the statement of intent to match more of the current code's form and flavor. This project, as indicated, needs to abrogate Aria Boulevard Phase 2, which is immediately to the northeast of this particular project site, up along Nakona, and we'll show you a graphic of that plan here momentarily. You have the three-story office building. As I pointed out, it is slightly larger than what was originally proposed. It's now almost 95,000 square feet, up roughly 5,000 square feet, if I recall correctly, from the prior plan. And the critical element associated with this, which does not require separate public advertising because it is a design exception, because it is part of a plan zone, is a request to basically authorize the site, and more specifically Lot 3, to exceed the maximum allowed parking associated with the actual square footage of the office building. So it is exceeding the 200% that's defined within the UDC as the hard max. Typically, if this were not within a planned zoning district, we would be addressing this particular request before our Board of Adjustment. But because it is part of a planned zone, it is considered a design exception and actually will have more public viewing of it than if it were to have run through just the Board of Adjustment. It not only has to go through a public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission and achieve a recommendation here, it also needs to achieve a recommendation at the City Council level. As I indicated, this is the Aria Phase 2 PD plan that will be abrogated, and it is not the piece that's here on the southern lower portion of your map. It is actually the piece that is here on the top, and a portion of the site that is actually proposed to be rezoned, if I'm not incorrect, is meandering through the property here. The applicant has indicated to us that they are wanting to go in a different direction with the area that was previously approved for Aria 2, and what the abrogation of this PD plan or the rescinding of the ordinance that approved it will achieve in the grander regulatory scheme is that before any development can occur on the remaining acreage, a brand new PD plan will have to be brought forth that actually respects the new zoning boundary line for the subject site that we're looking at this evening, and then addresses all of the other code requirements for a specific development on the acreage that Aria previously occupied. They cannot build this plan should this rezoning request be approved pursuant to the abrogation or the rescinding of the ordinance that approved this plan. That's that bottom line. What you see here in front of you can't be built on the northern side or the east side of Nakona. North is up. So the three-story office building has provided 679 parking spaces, which is 216% of the maximum or of the minimum, or it's 49 more spaces than the 630 that would be 200%. As a requirement, once you have reached 150%, as we discussed in our last meeting, interior parking lot landscaping is to be provided at a minimum of 20%. That's 10% greater than the standard parking lot landscaping. The applicant with this revised plan is providing 25% parking lot landscaping. So as I just discussed, they're providing 25%. They would have had to have provided only 10% under 150, and then they would have only had to have provided 20% up, 20% 150 and above. They're providing 5% more than what they're required to. The revision to the plan, as you can see, and as you saw in the larger version of the plan, is quite significant. The original open space was more toward the eastern side of the property. It was linear. It originally occupied the space, basically, that was allocated to a hotel site and a hotel footprint. That space is intended to be used as an amenity for the employees of the office structure, as well as likely the entire development as a whole. And it is to include, as in, was shown in the more detailed plans that you had in your packet, with benches, pathways, and other landscape features, such as vegetation, additional trees, vegetation, and the like. The area constitutes roughly 26,000, just a little bit over 26,000 square feet. So, and it is more centrally located at this point per this plan. It does provide an opportunity to provide a visual break from Nakona Parkway out to Ponderosa as a result of its placement. It is more centralized and does now provide much more functional access from the office building to the park space, more fully developed than what we saw originally. I think was what part of the concern was previously. It does now have the full sidewalk network around it, and it does show a little bit more defined detail for usage. So all of those factors make this particular location, actually, in staff's opinion, a far more meaningful insertion into this development. It actually serves multiple purposes now, not only visually, but actually for accessibility as well, therefore making it a what appears to be a far more usable open space specific to this particular area. The plan district process actually affords opportunities for us to grant design adjustments based upon particular offsets or set-asides, things that we wouldn't normally expect out of the regular development process. The identification of the open space originally from the June 10th was an attempt in which to show that, well, the applicant was proposing to do something that was beyond what would normally be required, making a space available for the patrons of this 90,000 square foot plus office structure to have respite, to go outside during the times of the year that it's possible to do so, and to use it for other purposes. The plan obviously was not fully developed. The commission asked for it to be further refined, and this is the refinement. Staff believes that this does meet the intent. Its location now, its scale, its proposed improvements better meets the intent of what our plan district zoning is meant to allow. And while we are parking at a greater rate than what 200% is, we believe the actual provision of the open space, the increase in the amount of parking lot landscaping that results, offsets that minimal 16% increase that we see, or 49 total parking spaces extra. Given our analysis, we feel that it does meet the general criteria. We feel that this is a meaningful offering and an improvement, and we support the plan. We, in like kind, support the rezoning of the property on the eastern boundary from MC to PD, and the design exception itself, as well as the statement of intent. We also are recommending that with your request, or with your motion for this request, you also specifically include a motion to abrogate or rescind the prior PD plan approval for ARIA, the ARIA Apartments 2 PD plan. With that, I'm welcome to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Before we move on to questions for staff, are there any recusals on this case? Mr. Stanton.
Madam Chair, I'm going to recuse myself from both 162 and 182.
Thank you. Okay. Any additional commissioner? Seeing none, I would like to ask any commissioners who have any ex parte to please disclose that now so all commissioners have this benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, commissioner, or questions for staff, Mr. McMahon.
Mr. Zinner, how many motions will this be? The abrogation should be standalone, shouldn't it?
Abrogation would be standalone. you have the design exception. In essence, if you make a motion to approve the PD plan, because the design exception is on the PD plan, that is incorporated into that motion.
So the those four are all together, right?
Yeah, the PD plan, the design exception, and the statement of intent would all be one. You'd have a rezoning motion, MC to PD, and then you would have the abrogation. So there's three motions here that I see.
All right. Just want to make sure that it's clean enough and comprehensible when it's kicked upstairs. Thank you very much.
Additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open up the floor to public comment. Please give your name and address for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. I'm here tonight. I can have my presentation. You've seen that material before. It's 2 weeks ago, very similar in nature. I believe Mr. Zinner has covered all the bases. I'm not going to bore you with my very similar duplicate presentation. But as Mr. Zinner did indicate, we've worked with city staff to come up with a more workable plan, a better location that suits this site better, and we believe that's before you tonight. And I think that additional time that we agreed to, the commission requested of us was in good use, and I think that it's a more superior plan that's before you tonight. Would indicate that it is about 26,400 square feet of green space, and that's comparable roughly to the size of the footprint of the building itself. And so we believe that that's fairly comparable. And again, it's 5% over the limit of the, or the, excuse me, the requirement for the green space, and we believe that that would compensate for the additional spaces. So again, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And with that, I'll sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Any questions for Mr. Crockett? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Crockett, can the folks you represent tell us anything more that they couldn't share last time?
The individuals that I represent, the company that I represent, would very much like to come forward and say who the tenant of the building is. The tenant of the building is not allowing them to do that at this time. So it has not been confirmed to me who that is. I do not know. I would very much like to come before you and say who that is. Due to contractual purposes, they're not allowed to do
And that's fine. I was just wondering if there's sure. anything else yeah. that had seeped out.
I think it would be a much easier sell if I could tell you who it is, if I knew who it was, but I don't, and they would very much like to say, but they can't, so all unfortunately right. so.
Fine. I have no more questions for Mr. Crockett.
Regardless of who the tenant is, I think the plan appears to be much more of an amenity as was described, and I do appreciate the accessible route connecting. I think it's also, it appears it will be more useful, used by the tenants just in the change in orientation. Sure. So
we
appreciate
agree with that.
That.
We agree with that assessment very much. And again, as much as we'd like to take credit for it, staff was played a big part in that too. So. I'll stand here and take the credit for you. Mr. Zinner and Mr. Smith did a lot of it as well, so we appreciate their help on that.
You're very generous.
Blind squirrel always
Pat,
finds
that's all, you, that's all you get, Pat.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crockett.
Any additional questions for Mr. Crockett? Ms. Placer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment also about that green space. Because I know I had questioned the strip that was yes, over ma'am. By the edge before, and I thought it was very awkward, and this is very much more elegant and useful.
Seeing no more questions, thank you, Mr. Crockett. Any additional public comments on this case? If there are none, we're going to close public comment, commission comments. Mr. McMahon.
Before we go diving right into that, Mr. Zinner, I'd like to ask Mr. Zinner to put a particular screen up. It may help us discuss things. Mr. Zinner, could you put up the screen with the list of the five things towards the end of your presentation? There.
This one?
No, the one that's bullet pointed out that has the abrogation.
It was
right there.
The one.
There we go. There we go. Thank you, sir. I think this is much more useful to this. I'm going to, if I may, just jump right into my commentary. This is much more useful. I understand the concerns that everyone had last time. I guess my question of you all is, do you still have those concerns? It's a lot of parking.
Ms. Carroll.
I do still have those concerns. I agree this is a vast improvement over what we saw last time. I don't approve of exceeding the 200% minimum parking requirement. I have concerns due to the amount of parking. I have concerns due to the size of the development. In the past, these haven't been questioned so much because there don't seem to be a lot of neighbors, but we've seen in recent history with Gans Creek that there are a lot of interested parties not far away from this development node. I think it warrants a look at the council level at a minimum because this area has been growing rapidly. We have a lot of projects out here and they're growing in size, they're growing in parking and impermeable surfaces. It's just too much for me.
Additional comments? Mr. McMahon?
I have a brief comment and then I'm gonna start making motions if that's okay with folks. To Commissioner Carroll's point, we requested of Mr. Crockett, and we addressed this in the UDC, when they kicked up so high over 150, we went to 25%. Something that concerns me, which is, and you mentioned this with the permeable and impermeable surfaces, the stormwater. And we may wish to address this when we're doing, you know, when we get so much concrete. Maybe an engineer can tell us more about that. All of that said, I'm prepared to make motions. The very first motion I'm going to make is the abrogation, so we don't technically have any point in time where we have two ordinances ruling any given property. In the matter of Discovery Center, case 162-2021, abrogating the Area Boulevard Phase 2 PD, I move to abrogate.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rushing. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please, Ms. Carroll.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. We have seven to approve and one abstention. Motion carries.
Moving on. Rezoning next in the matter of case 162-2021, rezoning of 1.64 acres in Discovery. At Discovery Center Acres from MC to PD, I move to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Rushing. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is no. We have six to approve, one no, one abstention. The motion carries.
Last but not least, in the matter of Discovery Center, PD plan, statement of intent and design exemption. I don't need to explicate those anymore, do I? That should be sufficient. I move to approve.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Second by Ms. Kimball. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? I would just like to comment in response to Ms. Carroll's concerns that while I share the concerns, I do feel that the giving of the green space in this situation in excess of what is required does mitigate to some extent some concerns of the pervious pavement. I also feel as if the need for parking has been identified as a specific need and is not a speculative need. Therefore, it's suiting a specific purpose again. So I do plan to support this. Any additional comments? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is no. We have 6 to approve. Motion carries.
1 vote no and 1 abstention.
1 vote no and 1 abstention.
Thank you. So, recommendation for approval on all motions on case 162-2021.
That's correct.
I have just a short question. So, since we don't have 7 votes in favor or 2 of the motions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they won't be, those 2 wouldn't be on the consent agenda. Would all 3 come off of the consent agenda? Am I confused?
That's a percentage expression, is it?
It's 75% of the members
voting.
So the abstention, the abstention would not count. Given the question, though, and I think the point that Ms. Carroll raised, it is the commission's prerogative, should you want the items under old business, you can ask. I mean, we can do that. Technically, right now, they are scheduled to go directly to the consent agenda, given that they have met the 75%. However, if it is of concern of the commission as a whole that there be additional discussion, that is something that you could ask at the council level. That is something that you can also request us to do.
Mr. McMahon?
Neither of the things that Commissioner Carroll voted for reached the 75% threshold. Mr. Carroll, are you happy with 75% would be...
for it to be off the consent agenda, consent. But they did
we
pass
have
the
met
75%.
That.
Yeah. So we could request for it to go
my apologies.
To the new business. Do we need a vote on that, though? I presumed that's what this was for.
Would that request require a vote or just...
It would. I would prefer that because the standard practice is 75% in favor automatically results, and at that point it at least alerts the applicant to be aware that they may need to have presence at the council meeting. The minutes of this are transcribed, of course, being sent in full. If it is the belief of the commission that the comments that Ms. Carroll made would be reaching council in that venue with the minutes, there may not be need. I just put that out there as an option that is available to the commission should you run into this situation in the future incident as well.
Mr. McMahon.
I have a question for Commissioner Carroll. If we were to request that council put this on all business, would it be both the second, third motions or just one of them, or how would you want to do that?
That's a great question.
The second motion is the rezone, and the third is the design exemption.
third would be fine with me, the motion with the design exception. My concern with MC to PD, because those go together to a certain extent to me, and the creation of more PDs if it's not going to be used.
I just was trying to make it as simple as possible
so
for them.
Third,
bringing it.
Third is the motion that I would think that council should see. If the commission agrees with that and would like to,
Commissioner Carroll, I have a suggestion, and this is maybe one for the chair. Would you like to make a motion to that effect?
I think it's up to you to decide if you're going to make a motion.
I will make a motion then.
All right.
I would like to make a motion to bring this off the consent agenda for the PD plan and design exception.
If I may, Ms. Carroll, it would probably be more advantageous just from a process perspective before council, since all three items are related, all three are on old business.
All right. Then I would like to make a motion to bring all three off the consent agenda.
We have a motion on, we have a motion. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
We have a second by Ms. Placer. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? I see none. May we have roll call, please, Ms. Carroll. So this is a vote to approve removing this case from the consent agenda.
That would that be, are we just asking them to do it?
No, the direction, we are, this motion and the vote on this motion is to direct staff. Staff, in any other situation, controls the consent agenda placement or old business.
So this removes it off of the consent calendar and moves it to what?
Old business on council's,
okay.
For council's second reading. So I'm back up here, as Ms. Smith pointed out this evening, maybe a little bit of education in order here. At the council level, council bills are introduced, and they have two readings for an ordinance. All of the items that you just discussed this evening are all to be approved by ordinance. First reading is just a reading of the ordinance title. There generally is no discussion. However, on the council's agenda, there is a designation associated with bill numbers that do have a potential for showing up either on the consent agenda of city council, which is a defined process, or under old business. This particular item would be identified with the symbolization that it would be an old business item for second reading, at which point it does provide an opportunity for the applicant or for any other citizen that may be interested in addressing the council in relationship to that bill's content to provide public comment. Otherwise, if an item stays on the consent agenda, it is read twice, if I recall correctly. The bills are called, they're all read, they're called again, and then council votes as a bulk item. There is no discussion. And it's a means by which to expedite the council agenda as it relates to the volume of cases that they have on their docket. There are provisions that do exist within the code, however, in the city code, that will allow either a council member or a citizen to request that an item be withdrawn from the agenda, from the consent agenda. You basically are just, because you are in a role of a recommending body that is hearing an item and may identify a public concern, you have the opportunity to direct staff to put it on to the consent agenda, not necessarily onto the regular agenda, old business versus the consent. And that's what we're doing here. This is more of a procedural matter in order to just make sure that, one, the applicant's aware of what's going on and what the intent is, because you would like council to be aware, not that our staff report that we provide to them won't identify this as a discussion topic. We will. The minutes will cover it as well. So, I mean, this is just an additional safety step that council takes a pause, thinks about it, and then makes their motions. And if anybody wants to speak, as Ms. Carroll, I think, has identified, there's a lot of people in this area that may be concerned about this, but just aren't here this evening. For what reason, I can't speak to. We've posted it. We've done proper notification, newspaper, as well as identified at least the property owners that are within 185 feet. But the property is required to be posted because it was rezoned with a sign, and that was done in advance of the original hearing and then we were noticing property owners. Property notice in this instance, because of the scale of the adjoining properties, really doesn't hit a lot of adjacent owners. And that, I think, is where Ms. Carroll's concern comes from, is there may be other owners out there that may be adjoining but didn't get notice, and they may hear about this hearing and want to have an opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Any additional comments on the motion?
I mean, that is exactly...
Ms. Carroll?
Sorry. Yes, that is exactly my concern. There's neighbors that don't get postcards because they're not directly adjoining because of the size of the properties out here. And there's interest in the region.
Given that we tabled this once already within PNZ, I don't plan on supporting moving this off the consent agenda. Ms. Burns.
And I want to say I respect my fellow commissioners' desire to pull this off. I feel like because of our uncertainty about the entire project, I think our vote should speak first, the 7-1. Mm-hmm. But I don't plan on supporting it either, but I appreciate you taking the time to do this thoroughly. Thank you.
Any additional comments? May we have roll call, please, Ms. Okay. Carroll.
Commissioner Lowe?
No.
Commissioner Burns?
No.
Commissioner Rushing?
No.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. We have 4 to approve. We have 3 no votes and 1 abstention. Motion carries.
Motion recommendation, or it's not a recommendation, directive to move off the consent agenda. Mr. McMahon.
Mr. Senator did a wonderful job of summarizing that, but just maybe for Ms. Kimball and Ms. Placer, if you haven't seen it, any citizen, as long as it's the Thursday before, can request of the city clerk to have a bill pulled. So just FYI.
It doesn't take the commission.
All right, thank you very much for the time.
All right. That brings us to our next case of the evening. Case 182-2021, a request by Anderson Engineering on behalf of Discovery Park Apartments, LLC, for approval of a PD plan development amendment to the Discovery Park Subdivision Plat 4 PD plan, most recently revised on July 20th, 2020, that proposes to add pickleball courts as an amenity to the project plan. The 12.92-acre property is located on the west side of Nakona Parkway, approximately 1,500 feet south of Ponderosa Street. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. So as the graphic here on your screen depicts the location of the subject site, this is the older aerial that we have, but we will have an updated one to show you a little bit more of the development activity. We're looking at 12.92 acres total within the Discovery Park Subdivision Plat 4 PD plan. The area that is to be modified is not nearly, it doesn't take up this whole acreage. It is a major amendment, pickleball, it seems like we have it going everywhere in the community. And here at Discovery, it's not any less important. This is a current common area within the project, so I will get to that in a moment as well. It's going to be used for a common purpose, just slightly differently. We did advanced postcard notification on the 18th of May, and then we did our public hearing ad on the 8th of May, and we sent out again just 2 postcards and 2 letters, given the nature of the surrounding property ownership. This is the subject site based on the oblique aerial that doesn't show all of the development that is out in this particular area. This is the existing 4 buildings here in the Aria Apartments project that were constructed at the time that the aerial was taken. And then this is the PD plan approval PD-approved plans for Discovery, as well as the existing development on the left-hand screen, and then the more current 2021 near-map aerial that shows the actual construction that has either been completed or is in process at this point. The roadway that is along the southern portion of this property, the southwest corner or the south side, is Braymont Avenue. That is the private driveway that accesses off of Nakona Parkway, goes between where the new animal hospital is and the apartments, and then our multifamily residential building there on the corner of Endeavor, the extension of Endeavor. So what are we looking at here? You see the little highlighted blue area in the middle of the site plan? That's our pickleball courts. That's the actual patio area that is being requested to be added into this particular development. That is currently a patch of green within the project site, or would be a patch of green in the project site once completed. We are in the process, if I am not incorrect, and the project's engineer here from Anderson Engineering will be able to answer more specifically what the progress is of the development that's to the west of that blue patch. I believe it is under construction at this point, but has not been yet fully built out. So what are we doing? We're adding four pickleball courts and a patio area as an amenity. It's a hard amenity that will be replacing the soft grass amenity in this particular area. It does decrease the amount of pervious surface within the overall lot 401B from 136,600 square feet, roughly, 45% of the total site, to 131,375 square feet, or roughly 42% of the site. So we lose about 3% of open space, green, soft open space, but we are improving that space with active amenities for the residents. The increase does not exceed the maximum allowed within the statement of intent for either track 4 or 5. Apparently, when Mr. Smith put the slideshow together, we don't need to abrogate Aria Boulevard Plat 2. We've already done that. So it does not violate. So what you want to read here is everything that's forward of needs. It does not have an impact with anything in the impervious maximums permitted by the original Ordinance 18045, which is what established maximum impervious surface areas within all of the Discovery Park Phillips Farm annexation rezoning request. It is staff's belief that the exchange of the soft space to the more active amenity space is not detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare of the residents. It actually is an enhancement to active living. There have been some minor modifications to the sidewalk network that ties into the common area that goes out over the green space that was created around some of the detention facilities to the west of this that overlooks the lake. While not related directly with this plan, they were recently approved as minor amendments to the existing development plans. And those changes really are connecting all of the walkways now that exist for the trail system within the project as a whole. They all get you back to this particular location or take you away from it so you can enjoy all of the other amenity features within the community, which is predominantly residential apartment living. With that, we don't have anything else to offer. We do acknowledge that, yes, it does decrease the amount of pervious surfaces, but we believe that the offset for active amenities outweighs that 3% decrease. Therefore, we're recommending approval of the amendment, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Before we move on to staff questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had expertise related to this case to please disclose that now. So all commissioners have the benefit from the same information related to the case in front of us. Seeing none, any questions for staff? Seeing none, I'm gonna open up the floor to public comment. If you can give your name and address for the record.
Evening, Tom Wooten with Anderson Engineering, 4240 Phillips Farm Road, Columbia. I don't have anything to add to Mr. Zenner's presentation. I can answer any questions.
How popular is pickleball?
I've never played it.
Me either.
But I hear about it all the time.
I do too. Any other questions? Ms. Carroll.
This might be too broad of a question. Why pickleball? I guess I'm a little bit surprised that you're doing a whole PD plan amendment for a pickleball court. I think it's great to provide that amenity. I'm curious.
Why the amendment? Or
staff are requiring it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the short answer. I can't answer to the owner's desire to add this. It was something that came up after the original project was prepared, so what they wanted to do, and we advised them that it would require a major amendment to the plan, and they said, let's do it.
And here we are.
And here we are.
And Ms. Burns?
No. Commissioner Carroll, I too have been surprised about the explosion of pickleball around the city, but courts have been added at Albert Oakland. The city has, I think, 3 pickleball leagues. I think that there is a tournament coming here or was here this summer. So I think it's great that they're recognizing a popular activity and providing an opportunity for more people to play.
Ms. Rushing?
Mr. Zinner indicated that you would tell us the nature of the development. Are those townhouses?
Yes. Yeah. Well, apartments. 3-story, I believe. It's been a while. They are nearing completion as we speak. 2 of the buildings will be, I understand, open in a couple of months if construction materials arrive, which is a challenge. But all 4 are under construction to some degree.
Additional questions for Mr. Luton? I see none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Dockin, any comments? No. Okay, we're going to close public comment. Commission comment. Mr. McMahon.
If my fellow commissioners have no further commentary, matter of case 182-2021. And a major amendment to the PD plan, plat 4, PD plan, Park Subdivision. I move to approve. I mumbled that. Did everyone get that? Sorry.
Move to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Burns beat you to it. Ms. Burns seconded. Any discussion on the motion on the floor? See none. May we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe.
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. We have 7 to approve and 1 abstention. The motion.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our cases for the evenings. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, any staff comment? It's going to be a really short meeting next time, right, Mr. Zinner?
No. It's never a short meeting. You should know that. Your next meeting is July 8th, though, so hopefully you come back with your hearing from the 4th's holiday. And maybe sunburn or relaxed more so than usual. We do have a number of items on that agenda, though. If I'm not incorrect, 5 to be exact. You have 2 subdivision final plats. And just, again, as a little bit of an educational primer, final plats normally are only presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission when they either have a design adjustment associated with them, meaning they want some relief from provision of the Unified Development Code, or they have never been previously platted as a legal lot. So when you normally see a final plat on your agenda, they come before you for the purposes of establishing legal lot status. So Ms. Smith's plan or plat that she presented you to this evening was just for that. The 2 additional lots that we were adding into the EPC plat 6 were previously not platted. Therefore, in order to make them legal lots, they needed to be platted, and in the process of doing that, they were merging it into a previously approved platting action. Having a platted lot opens up the opportunity to have what we define as a legal lot within our city's code. A legal lot entitles you then to being able to obtain building permits to be able to do improvements to that land. So typically, if you don't have a legal lot, you normally cannot make an improvement to the property. We have other exceptions, and when we get into that area of let's pull out a section of the UDC and training, we will explain to you what the non-conforming section of our code means, or at least we believe it means. So those are the two final plats, and those are the two subdivision actions that you will have, one off of the business loop. This is the old Eastland Motel site, right there at the new bridge that comes over from Conley into the business loop. That is 18621. And then 107 North William Street is a replat of an existing or a former a nursing home facility that's now been used as a multifamily rental property for individual rooms, but using the same footprint of the old nursing home facility. It is being proposed to be replatted into a legal lot, potentially to allow for redevelopment of the site. So the existing structure that's addressed 107 North William would be removed at a future date. The property also is built over a property line, which is another no-no under our new code. You can't have a building built over a property line, and therefore you often see consolidation plats for that purpose as well. And then the final three items that you'll have on your agenda on July 8th are a returning item, the Arbor Falls PD plan. This is a major revision. At this point, we believe it may be tabled. I have not yet received a formal request. They were working to make revisions to the project, which, as you recall at our last meeting, there were some concerns as it related to the block length and some other associated development subdivision-related matters. The applicant has worked to resolve many of those matters, but now is trying to get back through some neighborhood engagement, and that may be where there is a delay, and they're wanting to make sure that when they come back to the commission, they've had that opportunity to talk with the neighbors as it relates to the proposed changes. So we may see a request to table that for another cycle. That would be their second tabling request. And the last two items are actually related to each other. They are separately addressed properties, but they are part of the same PD plan. 5530 Bull Run is a rezoning request from PD to MC. And then 705 Port Way is a rezoning from PD to MN. For context purposes, these are parcels that are directly across from the equipment share property that we recently rezoned from MCPD to MBP. So as I get to the maps here, which are next, here are your two subdivision actions, the one off of the business loop for the old Eastland Hotel site, and then for 107 North William, this is Freedom House. And then our three public hearing items. The first is the previously tabled item at Arbor Falls, which the applicant is currently working on. This is a major revision to go from 70 multifamily units in roughly seven or so buildings to roughly 33 single-family lots. The middle graphic represents our rezoning off of 5503 Bull Run. To orient yourself here, immediately to the west of the subject site, or I'm sorry, to the east of the subject site is the Jimmy John's off of Bull Run, and then the Commerce Bank is on the corner at the roundabout, and to the north is the Holiday Inn East. So that, and then directly across off the map is where the equipment share property is. And then the last graphic represents the Port Way property, which is also part of the same PD plan. However, it abuts the adjoining residential neighborhood to the south, and then the building that you see in the eastern portion of the photography, that is the equipment share headquarters building, which was the old Ashley Furniture building. So this particular area is all part of the strip. If you recall, when Mr. Smith gave his report about equipment share, that was all rezoned PD back when the property was originally annexed. So the applicants at this point, and this property is laid vacant for quite some time, the applicants are seeing that the planned district restrictions associated with it may be part of the reasoning for it laying vacant, creating more of an obstacle for development, and they are coming back in and proposing MC along the Port Way, more the Bull Run frontage, which is the more commercial frontage, and MN, more neighborhood-oriented uses along the Port Way frontage adjacent to the neighborhood. Mr. Palmer will give you the reports on these items, and we will have them to you for your next meeting. They are currently still on schedule as of this afternoon when we produced the PowerPoint for tonight's meeting. As we discussed today in our work session, we will be spending the month of July CIPing. So if you will all utilize the link that we provided you to the online portal for the CIP and the CIP projects to be able to sort by either ward, by project type, and identify what your observations are, and be prepared at least to ask questions of our primary partners that we normally bring in for the CIP process: Public Works, Utilities, which includes water, sewer, and electric. And then we will be bringing Parks and Rec in, our favorites, always. They get to tell us about all the great projects they'll be working on to make life more enjoyable in the City of Columbia. But we will have them doing short presentations. Meal will be served, so come ready to listen and maybe ask some questions. The second meeting in July is going to be allocated, as I indicated, to basically the commission discussing the observations that it has identified through the presentations, as well as its observations related to the CIP projects themselves that maybe were not covered by our partner departments. It is also possible that I may invite our finance director to join us to give you a little bit of an overview as to where he and our budget officer believe that we may be taking the CIP process over the next year. As I indicated in work session, there is a desire to revamp how our CIP process operates and possibly how your role in that process may be able to be possibly better integrated or made more applicable as it relates to the review of the projects, which is, as I've stated, a mandatory action of the commission per your enabling legislation. We also will be beginning, I think, from tonight, debriefing as a staff on some of the topics that we discussed as it relates to the short-term rental. How we can identify some data collection sources that may provide us some answers to questions that were raised this evening, as well as provide, as well as begin the process of investigating some other codes nationally that we may be able to find to address particular unique characteristics that I gathered out of this evening's meeting you would want us to look at. We are still in a chicken and an egg scenario. I will not disagree with that. However, I think what we're doing here right now is, as Ms. Lowe pointed out, I think we may need to let the data inform, we may need to let the data help inform where we want to go, but I think it's going to be a slow rollout as it relates to that, of getting the data. So I don't want to stall the process significantly as a result of waiting for that collection activity to be completed. I want to continue to try to slowly make maybe progress on the lower hanging fruit as it relates possibly to the topic. And if we can do that, I think we can then, if we have to make a deviation, we'll be able to do so without a significant loss of progress. But I expect probably we will be bringing something back to you, not in July, but it will probably be either our first meeting in August, more likely the second meeting in August. And the only reason I say that is I am out of town the first meeting. I will let our staff handle probably some other general text amendments to bring them forward. We're in the process of gathering that information as well. So we've got a lot of stuff, as I said, before we ended work session that we're working on. The topics of just text amendments, but we still have the comp plan that we're dealing with. We have other topics that we would like to cover as well. So I appreciate your attention this evening. I appreciate your contributions to the meeting. They'll help us, and we'll look forward to seeing you after the 4th of July.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. You keep us entertained as always. Ms. Burns, congratulations on being elected interim vice chair.
Tough. That was a close race.
It was a close race. You stuck in there.
Yeah.
I think the Facebook page is the one that
put you over the top.
Yeah. Commissioner comments. Mr. McMahon.
In the matter of PZC, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Ms. Burns. She's stepping up already. We are adjourned.
Power grab.